the 4th of July weekend, and I want to honor America as we stand together today and sing our national anthem as we go today. Shake the hand, tell them you're proud to be American. You do that for me? Welcome everybody this morning. As we remain standing, let's sing our hymn for today, America the Beautiful, all four verses. Sir, use the books. Page 630, we're seeing all four verses of America the Beautiful. 630.
Oh, beautiful, far spread.
Someone said, amen. Please remain standing for prayer. Want to share some announcements with you at this time, very few, but one thing I do want to remind all you council, church council members, we will have church council directly after the worship service today and meet down in the fellowship hall. Would that be the best? Fellowship hall? Or do you want to meet up here? What y'all think? I'll make a decision. Somebody need to make a decision. We want to be, you know, have to be less climbing, be stay up here. Go to that Sunday school room right after the office. Meet in the Sunday school room right after the office, okay? That's for church council today. Okay. All righty, then, and let's remember Wednesday night, the no evening service is tonight. And let's remember Wednesday night with our adult Bible study. And then from there, train them up. Maybe you see that, read that, all that information there is about that. I don't have any more announcements than that, except this is continuation of the July 4th weekend, and we need to do that. And hope you've had a good one already and had plenty of hot dogs and hamburgers and watermelon and all the things that go with it. And anybody else have any announcements this morning? Yes, Kenny.
I'd like to make the Constitution Committee next week.
Next week? All right. Constitution Committee, you need to be in a meeting next week after service. Okay? All right. If there are no other announcements, we will move ahead into prayer time. I got several prayer requests I want to share with you this morning. Jeff, your mom, we need to keep remembering her. How is she doing?
Right now, her Bible for Stable and Jason.
Okay.
He had to call me no more.
Okay, all right. Now, let's remember the families in Texas. I can only imagine. And our people up in the mountains can certainly understand what they're going through, these families in the flood in Texas. Let's keep that family, those families in our prayer. Let's remember the people of Red Cross Baptist Church. They had a break-in vandalism hit their church last week, and a lot of extensive damage, I understand. I don't know exactly. I've heard all kind of estimates as to the damage, but it's way up there. And I understand they even took out the windows and everything. If it's just somebody is just real sick, real, real sick. And so let's remember our membership at Red Cross. Tony and Ruth's daughter-in-law, we need to remember her in our prayers this morning. Let's remember Stacy Talley. She's feeling better, but she needs our prayer. Lucille Burris, let's remember her, lift her up in praise. And then a praise for Barry Furr, a praise report for Barry Furr we had this morning. And then let's remember Brother Jim as he is waiting to hear from surgeries in the future. Let's remember Brother Jim. Do anyone else? Do I need to put anyone else on here? Yeah, Robert.
The family of Lacey Wallace.
Lacey Wallace, okay.
He's a friend of mine. He went out to get in the truck and just fell out of there with a heart attack.
My goodness. Okay. The family of Lacey Wallace. Sorry.
Yeah, also, Kathy is going for some tests tomorrow.
Okay. Okay. For test, okay. Yeah, Ronald.
Family of Keith Copeland.
Keith Copeland, okay.
Next door neighbor's brother passed away yesterday.
All right. We have others? All right. If we have no other requests, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we are thankful tonight, today, Lord, as we come before you today, Lord, and we just want to say thank you already for your blessings. Thank you, Lord, for being an American. Thank you for living in the best country in the world. But let us also know, Lord, that we need to keep our mind and our hearts toward you. Lord, we know where you bless, the country is blessed, and we ask your blessings upon America. But Lord, as we bring our petitions to you today, and you've asked us to bring our petitions to you and to ask you, Lord, I know you know exactly what we need. I don't have to ask, but I do believe that you expect us to pray. You expect us to bring them to you. So Lord, I'd like to bring these people to you today, Lord. I pray for Jeff's mom, Lord. We lift her up to you, Lord, that she'll get her strength back and her health back, and we pray for healing for her body. And Lord, for all those who've already lost their lives in Texas due to the flood and their families involved there, I can only imagine what grief and what sorrow they're going through. Not only that, they've lost everything that they own. Lord, only you can help in a situation like that and give them comfort, we pray. We pray for the membership of Red Cross Baptist Church who are now suffering the loss of in their church, Lord, how they had worked very hard through the years to have a beautiful church, place of worship, to have some vandals come and do it. Lord, I believe vengeance is yours. And Lord, we ask, Lord, that you punish those people. And Lord, if you do that, it'll be just fine with us. And then, Lord, we pray for Tony and Ruth's daughter-in-law. We pray for her. Stacy Talley, we lift her up to you. Pray for healing for her body. Lucille Burris, we pray for her this morning. We have a praise report for Barry Furr. We pray for, thank you for your answer, a prayer. We pray for Jim, Lord, as he is still looking to have surgery in his future. We pray for him. The family of Lacey Wallace. We pray for Kathy High, who has tests coming next week. And then the Keith Copeland family. Lord, the list gets longer and longer, Lord, because the needs are greater. But Lord, I'm so glad that you're able and that we serve an awesome, awesome God. We pray for Brother Jim now, Lord. We pray, Lord, for our pastor, Lord, who comes today, Lord, and as he leads us out today, Lord, we pray for him in the service today. As we appreciate Brother Ed, and we ask, Lord, your blessing upon him. And go with us now the rest of the service, Lord, and we'll give you all the praise and all the glory. Amen. All right, we've got another beautiful God Bless America. I love this song because we've just prayed God Bless America. I think we all need to keep that in our hearts and our minds. Let's all stand and sing God Bless America. them help us with that last note. Thank you. Thank you. Children, you are dismissed.
You can turn with in your Bibles to the book of Acts, first chapter. We'll get there eventually. First chapter of the book of Acts. When iPhones first came into use, Pamela had a first cousin that was in very serious medical condition in a hospital about 100 miles from here. In fact, the cousin died a couple of weeks after the story I'm about to tell you. And the cousin's sister came in from out of state. We were all West Albemarle folks, and the sister called and asked if Pamela and I would like to ride down to the hospital to visit the cousin. And so we said yes. We met at their mom's house, and we went to, got in the sister's van, and she pulled out that phone, and she says, "Which is the best directions to such and such a hospital?" And I'm like, that phone's going to tell her how to get there? Sure enough, that phone directed her right to the hospital. Well, we had our visit, and when it was over with, we were all hungry. And the road that we'd taken was pretty much like from Oakborough down 138 to Acredale. I didn't see any place to eat unless you stopped at somebody's house and said, "Hey, you got a peanut butter and jelly and a slice of bread." Well, she says, "Is there any place to eat along this road?" And they say, "Yeah, you go up here to a certain such and such place." And we went up there. She turned down a little side road, and back in behind a couple of houses, there was like a food line or a Harris Teeter, a grocery store, and some other places, and a restaurant, nice restaurant to eat at. All with her little phone. And I'm amazed. I still can't do that with mine, but Michael shows me some new stuff every time I get him over in the corner, but there's still things I can't do. But she had learned that. Now, we've been studying the characteristics of the New Testament church, and one of the characteristics we talked about was the Holy Spirit, the role of the Holy Spirit. And we looked about, you know, they spoke in tongues. Last week we looked about the Holy Spirit leading them to perform powerful miracles. Earlier we looked at the fact that the Holy Spirit led them to preach and teach powerfully, witness, share their faith, and thousands and thousands came to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So today, I want us to look at another facet of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and that is this. Are you led by the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is a leader, a guide, a director, someone to show us the light, to show us the path. And as you look at the New Testament church, you see it was the Holy Spirit's initiative, not theirs, in so many of the things that they did. And I have to ask yourself the question, how many of the things that you do in your life as a Christian, and things that even don't, in a sense, pertain to Christianity, do you do that or you're led by the Holy Spirit, and how many of them it's by your education or by your hunches or by what somebody else told you to do. How much are you led? Now, in Acts 1:8, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and the othermost part of the earth. Jesus told the disciples, you wait until the Holy Spirit comes. You wait. And verse 14 says, they all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, with his brother. They waited. The Holy Spirit, Jesus says, you wait. And they waited. And then chapter 2, verse 1, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, filled all the house where they were sitting. They waited, they prayed, and then when the Holy Spirit came, they acted. Now I imagine it must have been tough for them to sit around in that upper room for, I think it was like 10 days, listen to the crowds out in the streets, knowing those crowds did not know Jesus, knowing those crowds were on the way to an eternal hell without Jesus, and do nothing. Knowing that there were sick people that needed touching and lonely people that needed loving, but they waited. The Holy Spirit led them and they waited. Then when you turn over to Acts chapter 5, verse 9, no, I'm in the wrong chapter. Okay, verse 19 of chapter 4. I wrote something down wrong. Verse 19 of chapter 4. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge you. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. They obeyed God rather than men. They were told, don't preach anymore in the name of Jesus. Just shut up. And yet, they said, we've got to obey God rather than men. Now, when you get to chapter 8, beginning about verse 4, it tells us about Philip going down to Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles he did. A lot of people were saved, a lot of people were healed under Philip's ministry. Philip didn't just decide, I'm going somewhere. The Holy Spirit led him to Samaria, a certain city in Samaria. If you remember your Bible geography, in the day of Jesus, up on the top of Israel was Galilee, Samaria, and Judea. And so there were several cities in Samaria, and Philip was led to a certain one. He went and he preached. The power of God was there. And many were saved, and other miracles were done. Now, when you get later in chapter 8 of Acts, verse 26, the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise, go toward the south, and the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is the desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. And you know the story. I don't have to read all of those through verse 40. You know the story. Philip is preaching, we just said he's preaching revival. All kind of wonderful things are happening. And suddenly, the Holy Spirit says to him, you go down in the desert. Now, y'all would freak out if I suddenly said, oh, the Holy Spirit just told me to go somewhere and I went tearing out that door. Here I'm supposed to be preaching to you and all of a sudden I said, hey, God just told me to go down and witness to the man fourth house on the right or whatever. But that's exactly what happened. The Holy Spirit led Philip. The man was reading, the Ethiopian was reading the book of Isaiah. He didn't understand it. Philip explained it to him. And when they got to a place where there was water, the man says, hey, I believe in Jesus. I want to be baptized. Philip baptized him. That was the leading of the Holy Spirit. Going over to Acts 10. And start about verse 8. Well, really, you could start at the first verse of that chapter. There's a guy named Cornelius. He was a Roman military officer, but he's a devout man. And God says to him one day, you send down to Joppa, go to the house of Simon the Tanner, ask for Simon Peter, tell him to come and he'll explain everything you need to know. In the meantime, Peter is hungry. He goes into a trance and all kind of animals and things that a Jew would never eat were on a sheet that came down from heaven. And God says to him, arise, kill and eat. And Peter said, hey, no, I've never eaten any of that stuff. And God says, what I call clean is okay to eat. After that vision happened about three times, Peter wakes up and he hears the knock on the door. And these men come from Cornelius' house and explain it. And Peter goes and explains the gospel. And those people in Cornelius' house worshiped. And and then there's a story where Paul is on the way to Damascus to arrest people because they're believers. He encounters the living Jesus. He's blind. He goes into town. 3 days later, the Holy Spirit says to Ananias, go down to the straight street. You'll find Saul at a certain place. You're going to lay hands on him. He's going to receive his sight. Now, that's a direct leading of the Lord. When you go over to Chapter 13, verse 1. Now they were at the church that was at Antioch, certain prophets and teachers. As Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work wherein I've called them. The Holy Spirit began the missionary program. It wasn't that they sat around in some church council, some deacons meeting or something, and decided, let's do missions. The Holy Spirit said to them, here's these two men out of the group, and I want them chosen to begin missions. When you go to chapter 15, let's see, let's verse 28. You remember Paul had come back and a lot of people had gotten saved who were Gentiles. And then some Judaizers came around and said, they got to be Jews. And so Paul goes back to Jerusalem, consults with the original disciples, the original apostles. What do we do? What do we believe? And James and the others write a letter. In verse 28, look what it says. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. And then they lay out what the Holy Spirit had given them to tell these Gentile Christians. They didn't make vote all in favor, all in favor, all against. The Holy Spirit told them what to write these believers. And we'll look at one more, chapter 16, verse 6. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. When they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia praying, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And so they went to Macedonia. You see, the Holy Spirit says, don't go to this region. Don't go to this region. And then the Holy Spirit led them to Macedonia. Now, these are just some of the incidents in the book of Acts where over and over and over again, all the initiative, all the direction, all the power, all the leading was by the Holy Spirit. It wasn't some vote, somebody getting a bright idea. It was God speaking to their hearts and them obeying. Now the question is this, what about you and me? If we're born again, if we're truly saved, if we're truly on our way to heaven, the same Holy Spirit lives in me and you that lived in them. It wasn't a powerful, leading Holy Spirit in the book of Acts that went on vacation and hadn't come back yet. The same Holy Spirit lives in us. And he desires to bless us and lead us just as he blessed and led those folks. To bless us as we minister to others, to lead us as we minister to others, to witness and so share the power of God, because he knows who's most ready to accept the gospel. He knows who's hurting the most. And I'm going to give you some examples, but these are just a few of many. Do you allow the Holy Spirit to lead you to make phone calls? Do you allow the Holy Spirit to lead you to send texts or emails? Do you allow the Holy Spirit to lead you to send a card or a letter? Do you allow the Holy Spirit to direct you to make a donation, maybe to an individual or to a certain ministry? Do you allow the Holy Spirit to direct you to make a visit to somebody's house? Do you allow the Holy Spirit to just direct your daily path? It's interesting. If we'll listen, there will be, maybe not every day, maybe not even once a week, but there will be times you'll think, I need to go to the post office and buy some stamps. Or I need to go to this grocery store or this restaurant. I don't know why I need to go there, but I just need to go there. Now, if we goof off for 3 hours, we're going to miss it. But if we feel the leading of the Holy Spirit and we go when the Holy Spirit tells us, it's amazing how many times we can run across somebody that needs our ministry. I ran across a lady at the post office about 3 weeks ago. Thought I wasn't going to ever get rid of her. We talked and we talked and we talked about her church situation and some other things that, I mean, I've known her for a long time, but she's not a Barber's Grove person. But right place, right time. Now here, let me get into a sticky thing. How super is your supernatural? Do you really believe that the Holy Spirit can speak to you? Are you willing to hear and obey? Now, let me tell you, most of us don't get it right 100% of the time. But we can hear and obey. We can hear and obey. You heard anything about fake news lately? How do you know which is fake and which is real? When you step into that ballot box and you think, well, I like this candidate's stand on this, and boy, I hate their stand on this. And I like this candidate's stand on this, but I hate this. How do you know who to vote for? Well, I just always vote Republican, or I just always vote Democrat. Not a good idea. You're a whole lot better off if you follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. How do you decide who you're going to marry? Now, for most of us, that's a done deal. But, you know, well, she's beautiful. But is she God's partner for you? Oh, he's going to make a lot of money. He's in a profession where he's going to be rich. But is he God's partner? You see, you can fake things. How do you know about somebody's reputation? I don't know how to do it, but you know, you can take a picture. And you put my head on Leonard's body or vice versa. Now, up in the mountains, there's a picture floating around. It's on a slide of my first mission trip to Honduras. We spent the week building a church building, maybe a little more than a week. The last day, we flew a plane. It was not much advanced from what the Wright brothers flew, over to a little island about 25 miles from the airport at La Ceiba to Rotan. It's a world-renowned scuba diving site. And so some of them went scuba diving. Rainstorm came up back in La Ceiba, and we were stuck. We sat in the little airport, and they said, well, it's going to clear up and such and such. It's going to clear up and such and such. And all of a sudden, it's dark. And neither airport had lights. So they said, you're stuck on Rotan for tonight. Hey, it's 8 o'clock. We're hungry. So somebody finds a restaurant, and it's got a long pier out over the water and with tables. And so my church, and while we were at the airport waiting to see fly back or fly not back, a group came in that was Methodist on a medical, they'd been down on a medical mission. And so we find this restaurant. We sit down, and I sit down here at the end of the table, and my lovely wife sits right here to my right. Well, a little bit, those Methodist group came in. And somebody in our group says, y'all just come on, there's a few empty seats here, just sit down. Well, this beautiful blonde sits right here on my left and plops her beer right between us. So we get back to the church a couple of weeks later and we have a night where we're reporting on the trip. Somebody says, folks, you need to pray for your preacher. And they flash a picture. They cut my wife out. All it is me, the blonde, and the beer right between us. And I guess 25, 30 years from now, somebody writing history of the church, they'll pull that up and they'll say, I can't believe y'all had a preacher that was a drinker. It's all fake. Just the way the picture was made. How do you know? How do you know? And remember now, three of the examples that I used a moment ago, the Holy Spirit was specific. Cornelius, you go down to Joppa, to the home of Simon the Tanner. You ask for Simon Peter, and you get him to come, and he'll explain what you need to know. Ananias, you go down to Straight Street, and when you get there, you'll find Saul. He's blind, he's praying. You'll know exactly. Philip, you go down to Gaza to the road that leads to Egypt. And it's the same Gaza that they're fighting over right now. And when you get there, you'll find out what's going on. You see, the Holy Spirit is all wise, all knowing, and he can direct your path if you're listening. And that's one of the beautiful things about being a Christian is you don't have to walk around and live in ignorance if you'll listen to the Holy Spirit. That's his job. Well, that's part of his job. And he was not just a New Testament thing. It's a modern American thing. I think about a story that I've heard more than once. Two pastors were at a conference. Conference is over. They go to the airport. One of the pastors says, I'm not getting on that plane. The Holy Spirit said, shouldn't get on that plane. The other said, well, I feel a little antsy about it myself, but I promised my kid I'd be there for the birthday party. I'm going to go on, get on. Plane crashed. He never made the birthday party because he was killed. Now the Holy Spirit told him, don't get on this plane. And if the Holy Spirit gives us a warning, you may remember, probably been about a year ago when I wrote in the newsletter about what happened with Pam's mom when they live down in Waitsboro. She's in the house, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit says to her, you go outside and you go now. So I don't remember what she was doing because I wasn't there, but she goes running out the door. Pam's little brother, who was a toddler, about like these two little girls that just toddled out of here, had climbed up an outside stairway to a room that was two stories up. And she caught him as he fell. If she hadn't listened to the Holy Spirit, Kenny would have been seriously hurt or killed. But the Holy Spirit told her, you go. And she listened. Now she was no more spiritual than you are. She's no more favorite of God than you and I are. It would change our ministries. It would change our daily life if we simply learned to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. That's His job. That's His job. Can't let you go without a song. He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me by His own hand. He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me. I encourage you, develop a listening ear and an obedient heart, and you'll be amazed at what the Holy Spirit will do. I have a friend now in heaven that he used to say, you know, Ed, when you and I started learning to do this, it's amazing how many holy coincidences happened. That's what he just called them, holy coincidences. How many times, right place, right time to minister because you're listening to the Holy Spirit. As we have the invitation hymn, if you need to come to the altar, if you need to become a part of our church fellowship by joining the church, or if you need to make some other decision, we invite you to come. Would you stand? You, the Lord keep you, the Lord make His face to shine upon you, be gracious to you, give you joy, grace, and peace. In Jesus' name, amen.